the game going back to last week. I know afterwards you talked about how it wasn't pretty. I like to joke around and say, you know, the saying goes, sometimes you paint a masterpiece and sometimes you paint the barn. You got 2 points. You were doing some barn painting on Friday.
We were. I mean, I got to think our defense led the way. They played well. They were ball hawks on the back end. They led the way. You know, we just gave away opportunities early. We really should have had a touchdown pass the very first play. You know, we didn't make that play and kind of set the tone for the whole game. And then our special teams kind of certainly joined the poor play late, way too many penalties, and made it very interesting. But like you said, I mean, we were rusty, and it didn't look like we were as sharp as we needed to be. Focus wasn't as good as we wanted it to be. But still, to win when you have maybe not your best, that's still a good thing for us.
I know when we used to talk to Huff, he had a very low tolerance for penalties. Anytime you get into double digits, his blood pressure would rise. I don't know that you're much different. As a coach, how do you police this? Like, what kind of ultimatum or what can you do to try and keep this number down?
Well, I mean, we were the best in the league up till last week. We're still probably right there, if not still the best. It happens sometimes. I mean, some penalties that you earn are fine with me. You're playing hard, and you just maybe you get a little of hand, gets a little bit out of whack or something. The ones I can't tolerate are the selfish ones, late hits, offside, stuff that's very, very correctable. You just line it up in the neutral zone or that sort of stuff. So for us, I mean, certain penalties are going to happen. We do get after them for good decisions, you know, smart decisions. And when you see someone's back, you can't block it. So, you know, and then well, we had our share, you know, the holdings hurt us a lot. And then, like you say, we wiped off a couple good returns with penalties on special teams, and that really hurt our field position.
It's amazing watching Alex Singleton play, and I know it's different for you. You're in the throes of a game, and you're watching all aspects, and you're trying to keep things going. But as a fan who just gets to sit and watch, it seems like he is involved in every single play. Team tackles, special teams, the pick, had a sack. I don't know if there's a defensive player doing more for his team than what Singleton is doing for you guys.
Well, I thought he played well. I actually, I'm agreeing with you. We gave him, I gave him the game ball because I felt like he made such a big impact. He's kind of even stepped up. He's our defensive captain now in his second year. You know, we've had Josh Bell and Daron Mayo were last year, and we should be close to getting both those guys back. But you can tell Alex has taken the step, and he's playing well. And you're right, he's making a lot of checks and calls. He's a good tackler. He's around the football. He has great energy, good leader. So, second-year player, I think he's certainly right there with the better guys in the league, and he's still improving, which is a good thing.
Dave, as you know, Bo hosts a show on this station every Monday, and yesterday he was talking about Singleton, and you mentioned him being a captain this year, and Bo was saying last year as a rookie, and maybe it's because he was a rookie, but not overly vocal, kind of just stood in the back and really just kind of looked at everybody else and what they did. Can you just speak to maybe him stepping up and being that vocal leader on defense this year?
Well, I think what you do is you just be yourself, and I think you do fit in at first. I don't think you want to come in and try to exert that you're the man or anything like that. So he's been around the game enough to know that, and I think he felt there was a void this year. You know, we didn't have that leadership, and we were losing some of that, and he just stepped right in, and he's himself, and you do it with your play first and foremost. You get on the field, and you play well, and you show the guys you're ready to go, and you're doing your job, and then the guys respond to it. I mean, I really never responded to a guy just chatting and if he wasn't getting it done on the field. So I'm glad that he's taken that role. You know, and as a middle linebacker, free safety, you should be that way. I mean, you are helping everyone else get lined up. You're telling people where to go. You're making the checks. And so when we really had the last few games here, we got a second-year guy and a rookie playing in those pivotal positions, and yet our defense is still playing well. That's a tribute to both Singleton and then Tunde at the free safety spot.
What kind of guy were you? Were you the vocal guy, or like you say, if you're get on the field and do your talking out there, don't blather to me in the locker room about how great you were going to be.
Probably, not a big shock that I didn't talk a lot. I didn't try to call anybody out unless I felt the effort wasn't there. I mean, why are you going to call someone out if he drops a ball or misses a block unless you feel they're just not focused or not doing it? Because I'm going to throw an interception. I don't need a bunch of O-linemen telling me, come on, let's go. I know it's a bad play. So for me, I felt like I played with fire and passion. And that's what I feel like that Alex has got. I mean, the guys know he wants to be there and he's enjoying just every part of the game. And I think that's the best way to be a leader is that people understand that you're excited to be out there and you're going to give it everything you got.
There is that part of it, man. And I think when we watch sports nowadays, it feels like the fun has been sucked from it sometimes. There's no doubt that this guy is having a blast, that there's no place he'd rather be than on the football field after every single play because he's so animated.
I just had a guy in BC, they honored Carl Kidd, and before I knew Carl Kidd, I thought, what a pain, you know, this guy, he's just, you know, everything, he wants attention. And then I got to meet him, and basically he just loved the game. He gave you everything he got, and I compared Carl to Nick Lewis. I think that's similar. I think Nick, you know, when you don't know Nick, you're kind of thinking like, well, he's looking for attention, but he just loves being out there. He loves the game, and he'll put everything on the line, and those are rare. I mean, first off, the personality. You don't find a lot of people with that big a personality. And I don't know if Alex is in that mode, but he's certainly a guy that I think, like, you can see that football is important to him. He loves being out there. He loves being part of that group. He understands the team game, and to be in the middle of it as the middle linebacker, he's just relishing that opportunity and playing well.
Stampeder coach Dave Dickinson, our guest here on Sportsnet 960. A lot of people talking. We'll get into injury news and what little you know or how much you know. I'm sure we'll find out. But people worried about Bo Levi, obviously, watching him trying to manipulate and move the shoulder and loosen it up on the sideline. The numbers weren't great. You mentioned the drops. The numbers would be a lot better if there were a couple of passes that were caught. But still, he is laboring to an extent. How much of a concern is this for you?
Well, I mean, I want my guys, you know, playing well. I feel like ultimately, physically, Bo can make every throw that he's been making for many years. You know, he has a little bit of soreness, stiffness in there, so he's working it out. But, I mean, he did launch one 60 yards down the sideline after doing a little pirouette in the pocket. So he can make them. The problem, I think, is, you know, when you start talking about something over and over and over again, it starts affecting your mind. So I do think, obviously, instead of maybe other things. Now, I'm not going to say that we had their defense figured out. They did a nice job. They ran some different coverages on us. Seemed like when we figured out what they were doing and we thought a play would get open, we'd go back to that, and they had seen it on the iPad and fixed it. So, you know, we didn't have, we just didn't make plays early, and they were there. The plays were there to be made, and we either missed throws, we dropped passes, we took holding calls. So we were doing everything wrong. And then by the time, obviously, then it starts snowballing. You don't have your best game. You're not moving the ball as good. All of a sudden, now you're getting sacked. So it certainly offensively was a game we needed to be better. We won, and we did make some great throws late, but certainly wasn't our best effort.
And some big plays on the other side, too. I thought it was great seeing Junior Turner come in and get that big play at the end.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the same thing. We didn't really know exactly where his conditioning would be at. I mean, you go out to the West Coast and all that, and you're inside. It's a different atmosphere. And we feel pretty good about Junior after the game. He was sore, same as just you said with Bo. I mean, it's all of us get certain things, but I certainly felt like his conditioning was pretty good. And he played hard. He played vertical, and he went after it. And he's got the same sort of deal as Alex, by the way. He loves being out there. He loves the game, and those are great guys to have out on the field.
I know Deron Mayo was really close to coming back last week. Good chance we see him Saturday, Coach?
You know, I'm just going to let that kind of simmer right now because I felt the same as what you just said, that he would be out there, but he's just not ready. And so I just don't want to put huge expectations and try to say, hey, this is the week. Just go out and practice and make sure after the practice that you're feeling fairly good. And when he gives me the thumbs up, we'll get him going.
Last one from me, and then that is just, you know, the opening kickoff last week against BC. We saw it. We've seen it happen so much with some of the punt returns. He's come back. How important has Roy Finch been to your team and kind of what he's been able to do in the return game?
Yeah, I thought he's been great. You know, we killed him a couple times. We took penalties. You know, that guy was kicking long bombs, and when you do that, you get a lot of extra space, and you should have better returns. But we took two penalties that really hurt us. But, no, Roy's good, actually, and he's been running hard, and he's one of the quickest guys you'll ever meet. But, you do have to give credit to the guys that are down there blocking. We're working hard, and the schemes that Mark Killen's putting together, there does seem to be at least some space, some room for him to start. And then after that, you're right, it's a lot of Roy just making great plays. So he's been great. I'd like to get him a little bit more involved in the offensive system a little bit. He's learning still, and yeah, he has to earn my trust on that. But certainly a change of pace is a guy that we'd like to use, and he is getting better. And ultimately, special teams-wise, I think he's looking as dangerous as anyone in the league.
Just to double back to injuries, we can't let you off the hook that easy. I'll start with, you mentioned Tunde Andeleke earlier. Josh Bell, is he close?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect Josh to be at least available. I think he should be practicing full speed here today. But, you know, I always, when you go and come off surgeries and all these things, you just can't put a super big timeline on things. But, yeah, he's close, if not, should be full go.
Charleston Hughes missed most, if not all, of the second half, to my knowledge. Mark and Michelle left as well, and, of course, Jerome Messam. Can you give us any details on those guys?
I think Mark and I don't want to really comment too much. I think he's going to be fine, but you never know. And then Charleston and Mess are probably, you know, day-to-day. So two huge pieces of our puzzle, though.
I know.
So we really need those guys back in there if we're going to get going. Toronto played really well last week, and, you know, we better understand that it's going to be a heck of a game because they've dominated Montreal. So we'll have to see how it plays out with our roster, but we better be ready to go.
Because as you can imagine, we get people texting in and saying, with Toronto coming in advance of the back-to-back with Edmonton, how huge those games are within the division, would there ever be a situation where you would entertain maybe resting a Bo Levi Mitchell or giving Messam an extra week, Charleston, if he needed it?
Well, I mean, if you're hurt, you're hurt.
Yeah.
If not, you get paid a salary to play the game, and every game's as important as the other game. I know Edmonton's big game, but if you lose one before that, it's still an opportunity to miss. So we're playing the game to win. I don't know other way about it. Every single game, I'm putting my best lineup out there to win, and hopefully our guys are healthy so we can go get this win on the weekend.
I like the comments you made after the game. You know, it's not always about style points. We're 6-1-1. It's not how, it's how many. And you got 6 in the win column, so it looks pretty good.
I'm very happy with where we're at because this West Division is unbelievably tough. So any chance, yeah, you can steal games on the road, we'll take them.
Good luck on the weekend. We'll chat next week.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.